Alright, hey Papa, can you just quickly say your name, so...
My name is Stephen Freed.
Awesome. Alright, so I'm gonna start off small and then we'll go longer. So, when you were growing up, what were some of your influences, some of your people that made a difference in your life?
Well, the most important people that made an influence in my life growing up were my parents. My mom was self-made. She worked, went to night school. My dad was an accountant with GE, and both of them were very important in my life, and my brother, of course. And my dad worked very hard. Being Jewish wasn't easy at that time with GE, and he couldn't advance and as much as he should have, but he was a very good person. They were very good. We were not a wealthy family. In fact, just the opposite. But we were rich in who we were and what they taught us. And they taught us good values. And my brother and I, when we weren't fighting, were very, very close as being young. And I think they had a handful in bringing us up. They were important. But the outside world became important, and people during that time, I began to appreciate, not my aunts and uncles, but some of our leaders at that time, because my parents would talk about it, and they made a major difference, and helped me see things that I needed to become a better person.
That's great to hear. What type of kid would you describe yourself as?
Wild, reckless. My mother's hair turned premature white at age 40, and it wasn't from my brother, who was the fount of wisdom and everything that was good. And then they had me, and I gave him a run for the money. I made a zip gun when I was about 14, and found 22 shells and fired them at trees. I didn't kill myself, and it was just by accident I didn't. And I was pretty wild. I used to come after my brother with knives, hatchets, and anything I could get my hands on, and he used to laugh at me. He had longer arms than I did, and he used to hit me against a wall and then run, and I used to come. And we made a lot of dents in my mother's vase, that Ming vase she treasured, that was in pieces after I accidentally hit it with my fist. Going through the house was something that she kind of remembered me for the rest of my life, and but they loved me anyway, and I was a handful.
Sounds like I'm just a chip off the old block. All right, what would you consider as the most valuable life lesson you taught, that you learned, that has stuck with you through all of your years, that when you need to look back on something, that's what you look back on?
You know, I always laughed at people that said, well, you build a foundation and you learn to live with certain things, and you learn from your mistakes, and learn from events that you've gone through in life. But it's true. And I didn't realize it until I was much older, that you learn from things that you did, good and bad. And my life lessons were that I remembered what I did that I didn't like, so I didn't do them again. And not everybody does that, unfortunately. People just move forward without turning their head. And some people, there was an old saying by John Steinbeck saying that people are always marching forward with their heads turned backwards. And they're not remembering what they did to not do it again. And life's lessons are very important as we grow older. To when you go forward, to remember where you came from. Remember the nice things and the good things, and to be a better person. That's what I'm trying to do now, to try to at least leave that sort of a legacy behind, of being a better person than I was before.
That's really nice to hear. That's great. So, what are some of your goals that you feel like you've accomplished, that you're proud of?
Well, I think some of the goals were having three wonderful children, being married to a wonderful wife for 53 years. And I've been very lucky in that respect, that I've been into a marriage that I enjoy every day, including today. And I love my children, my grandchildren, and my family. And personal family is the most important thing in my life. I don't care about material things. I never have. I care about that nuclear family, the extended family of who we are, because they are who I am, and they will be who I, when I'm not around, hope they become, and I hope even better. That would be the greatest thing for me, to see you grow up and be, it isn't about money and this, that, it's about who we are as a person, who we are in this world. I'm not saying we have to change the world. No individual can do that, but you can certainly help by directing yourself to make sure others are listening to a better way of doing things. And maybe I'm off the track. I don't know what you just asked me, but I've grown quite a bit. I've had a lot of accomplishments in life. I've done a lot of traveling. I've met a lot of people from all over the world. I've been in the jungles. I've been in the mountaintops of Kandy in India and in many of the other countries working. And their cultures have had an effect on me, learning about people and needs. And I've grown because of my experiences.
Do you think there was a specific person or time in your life that really made you realize what you just said to me?
Say that again. There was, I heard a thing crash back there.
Yeah. Do you think there was a specific person or place or area or time in your life that really made you realize and exemplify what you just spoke to me about?
I don't think there wasn't any particular person that was... that meant so much to me. It's like hero worship when you have a single person that you look up to. I have found a number of people have influenced my life. I've met Ben Gurion in Moshe Dayan in Israel. I've been with Governor Dewey in New York. I've met Mrs. Roosevelt through my mom. I've met famous people who I consider famous people. I'm not talking about movie stars. I'm talking about people who make a difference. And have they had influences? Yes, for the moment. But I think the most influential people are those that I deal with every day, that have, each one plays a role, and in my life at least, to help me grow. And I find even today at 78 years old, I'm still trying to grow to become a better person and to learn. And I read more today than I've ever done before.
That's great to hear. Now, how'd you know Nana was the one?
Well, I'm not much of a talker. You see me, you know, I don't head off the conversations. And I was on a double date when we were in the Army, and I was dating another person, and my friend was dating Nana, and to become Nana, and we got into a conversation, we excluded everybody else, and the thing about that was, I liked to listen, and Mom liked to talk, and or Grandma liked to talk, and she was interested, and it was fascinating, and she always remembers a story when we first got married, that we drove from Key West to Miami, because we were living in Key West at the time. And it was like a 3.5-4-hour drive over single lane highways, and we had to go up to Miami. And she started talking when we got in Key West, and we were on the outskirts of Miami. About 3 hours later, she says, "Is there anything you want to say? I've been talking all this time." And I said, "No, just keep right on going." And she did. And I've had a very happy life. And she's very calming and very, she's just great for my personality. I have an A+ personality, and she is laid back but very intelligent and very creative, and we've had a very successful and happy marriage.
That's awesome. I can tell. What's the one thing that you think you're most proud of at this moment, that whenever you look back in your life, that's the one thing you're like, wow, I did great?
It would be my children, my grandchildren, because that's what life is. It isn't me. It isn't what I've accomplished. It's what I've done to make the next generation stronger. And if I die tomorrow, so be it. Because whatever I've left behind is good. And the people like yourself are going to be good. I know you're going to be great. And I honestly know that. There'll be a lot of changes in you. You know, you're just starting. And believe it or not, even though you have a good mindset, but you'll grow up to be very fine. And you've got a good history from your parents. And that's very important to me. And it isn't about me. I never thought it would be about me. It's about what I've left behind, what I've given. And you and your parents and my kids are making a difference in this world.
Awesome. Okay, so let's just get a little lighter here. What's your favorite activity? What's something you love to do?
Well, I like to go be out and doing things, especially with Mom. I like to read very much and and learn. I still do that. I like going to the theaters and plays, and social activities has never been a strong point of mine. I try to avoid them, and Mom keeps me going into them, even though they're good people. I'm happier and more at ease when I'm with my family than any other time in my life. And at 78, it's harder to say how much you did, but you know, your dad and I have done things when we were younger, that from skiing, which I did a lot of, from scuba diving, which we did a tremendous amount of. Your dad and I dove, you probably know this, in Guam, not Guam, we did in Guam too, but in Truk, the Japanese destroyers and battleships that we dove under at 150, 170 feet, which is deep diving, and into portholes that were torpedoed from old Japanese destroyers. I'd say in a Betty bomber from World War II on the bottom of the ocean. I mean, I've had experiences. Your dad and I have had tremendous experiences. Your dad and I used to go skiing most weekends, and we used to stop off. And I reminded your dad just yesterday how we used to stop off and get our hot cider and a donut after our way home, because we were sweating up in those mountains skiing. It could be below zero, but we did some heavy skiing and had a great time. And so we did a lot of sports and activities, and I can't do them anymore, but I have great memories.
That's awesome. If you could change one moment, redo one thing in your life, what do you think that might be?
That's a very good question, and it's a very difficult one, but the one that comes into my mind is, if I had to do it again, where I could make a change, I would have studied harder in school in subject matters that would have made my life easier. And I lived under a great deal of stress. I worked under a great deal of stress. But I would have been a good dentist. I would have been a good physician. I would have been a good podiatrist if I had channeled my activities to do better, so I could have done those things. Instead, I had to struggle through life. I had to go through night school to get my degree. I had to go through night school to get a master's degree while I worked. And I did it the hard way. Yeah, I did it, but it was hard. I could have made life a lot easier and a lot more productive. And a lot easier probably on the family as well, because when you're traveling, when you're working at night and day, you take away from things that you want to be doing with your own family as well. So, yeah, that's the one thing that I regret not doing well on. I'm not saying you had to be a genius. I just need to direct my activities more.
Yeah. So this is the last question. What do you think was the hardest thing that you overcame, that you were able to pass through? And when you came out, like, how'd you feel?
What do you mean by pass through?
One big moment in your life that you, like, one hardship, something that was really tough to get through, but when you did, how'd you feel?
Oh. It's something, I've had a lot of hardships. I think one of the hardest things that I could think of offhand was when I was 18, I went to Israel, lived there for a year, and worked on a kibbutz. And I planted cotton. I worked irrigation. I drove a tractor. I shoveled manure from the chicken coops. And I had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and study. And I did it for 11 months. Yeah, I traveled by truck all over. That's when I met Ben-Gurion, and I had a course by Moshe Dayan. And it was hard. We didn't have air conditioning. There's what they call chamsim during that year, where the temperature rises to well over 100, which is high humidity. And you just sweat, and you try to suck in the air at night, and you hardly sleep. That went on for weeks at a time. In that year, it sounds poor, but it wasn't. It was very enriching, very tough, and I was with a group of kids that I didn't know, and we all grew together. After that year, I came out as a different person. I came home from that year, and I couldn't talk to my friends. I didn't have anything in common with the friends that I left behind, because they were still interested in cars and girls and this, that, where I was more interested in life and moving ahead. It changed me. It made me a different person, and I was able to move on. And I think it helped me make who I am today. I hope that's good.
That is. Thanks, Baba. That's it. Love you.
Love you, baby. Mwah. Very much.
Thank you. I'll stop this. Done.
How long did we talk?